I wonder, have you ever experienced a moment that changed everything? For me, it had been just like any other week. I'd had a busy few days visiting some important clients. The trading at my stalls along the marketplace had been bustling. And of course, there was the usual management of my household affairs. Business was going quite well, and for that, I was grateful. But I always looked forward to the Sabbath, this opportunity every week to rest and pray. And just like any Sabbath, I had gone along to the river, our meeting place there, where I met with the other women to pray. See, we don't have a proper synagogue here in Philippi, as there are not many of us, but we still seek God together in this place. Although I must tell you, I'm not actually from here, so I didn't really belong at this gathering. See, I'm originally from Thyatira, which is almost 400 kilometres away. And I'd moved to this city of Philippi to establish a base for business here. See, the dyers of Thyatira produce some of the most sought-after cloth in the whole region. And I'd come here to establish a base to export these goods from my hometown to Philippi. And as you may also know, this cloth, this purple cloth, is some of the most expensive cloth that we have, and so only the most important citizens are allowed to wear it. And so I entered into quite a respectable and lucrative trade, as you can imagine. Things were going quite well for me. I've managed to establish a substantial network of customers and relationships, which keeps me quite busy, not to mention participating as a member of my collegia, the Association of Dyers, which involves many feasts and meetings for me to attend. But one day, as I was in the marketplace, this lady mentioned to me that there was a group of people who gathered by the river to pray. They were called the Jews. And there was something about this that intrigued me for some reason. See, growing up, it was quite a diverse place, and people followed a whole number of gods. There was the ancient sun god Tirimnos and the goddess Boreatine. But something inside me was seeking something deeper, this deeper spiritual life than those around me who chased after a whole range of gods. So I decided to check out this gathering by the river. And I'd started coming along every week, and I'd found a real place of acceptance amongst these women. I was fascinated by the stories that they taught me about this God of Israel who rescued his people in mighty ways throughout history, and how this God promised them redemption would one day come. But on this particular Sabbath, as we were gathered by the river, I just had this moment when I looked up and I saw a man appearing, accompanied by a few others, which was strange. Now, they didn't come to cause us any trouble. In fact, it seemed like they had been kind of led right to us. And although they looked tired from traveling for several days, they had this certain energy about them. It was like they were intentionally seeking us out to bring something to us in our gathering. Now, the leading man in this group was named Paul, and he just came right up to us and sat down in the middle of our gathering. And he began to speak, and this kind of power was within him as these words started rolling off his tongue. Paul began to say, women of Philippi, I know that you are very devout. I can see that you desire to worship the God of Israel. But have you heard that there is something more to this story? And I looked around at the other women, who appeared equally confused but intrigued, as I was, by these words. And then Paul continued to speak, and he began to retell the story of Israel, which we were familiar with, how God had designed the entire universe and set human beings apart as his special creation, designing them to live in shalom, in this state of perfect wholeness and harmony and peace, under God himself and with all the rest of creation. But see, these humans, they broke this perfect state of harmony that God designed them to live in, as they elevated themselves above their God. And so brokenness entered the world. But God did not abandon his people. No, he designed a special plan for them, that he would redeem them through sending a Messiah, a Savior, to bring restoration and wholeness and overcome the brokenness that had entered the world. And so from the times of Abraham, through Isaac and Jacob, to David, to all the prophets, Israel have longed for this promised Messiah to appear, who would rule over all empires forever. Now, this was a familiar story to me, but then Paul paused and he looked intently at us women. He said, "Women of Philippi, do you know that this Messiah has already come to earth? And his name is Jesus Christ." Well, I was stunned. How could this be the case? How could God's promised Messiah have already come to this earth without us even knowing about it? There was nothing in the world around us that attested to this. Everything was still operating as usual. Caesar was ruling. People were going about their everyday lives, trading and selling and living without a care in the world that this age of the Messiah had supposedly already dawned on us. Seeing our confusion, Paul continued to speak. And he told us how this Jesus figure actually fulfilled everything that the scriptures told about the coming Messiah. How he was from the line of David, and he was indeed God's own son. But he didn't come with force or might, as many people expected. No, this Jesus came to earth in utmost humility. Paul told us how Jesus was born to a peasant girl, and then he was raised in a lowly place called Nazareth. I'd never even heard of Nazareth before. But then this Jesus began to teach and perform signs from heaven, and he gathered a group of followers around himself, and he began to tell them the ways of God's kingdom and how to live in an alternative way as true children of God. See, this Jesus, he did not come to bring redemption through military defeat, but through sacrifice. And many of the Jewish leaders at the time did not understand that he was the one who was promised to them. So they handed him over to be crucified. And Jesus died a shameful death on a cross. His followers thought that it was the end, but actually this was all part of God's plan to bring redemption and restore his broken people. Because 3 days later, this Jesus rose from the dead, and he's now seated at the right hand of God in heaven. Well, I had never heard such a thing as this. The Son of God dying the death of a slave on a Roman cross? What kind of religion would declare that to be a part of its story? And resurrection having already occurred before the end had come? I was no true expert in the Jewish scriptures, but this did not sound right to me. How could this be true? How could this Jesus be the one who scriptures pointed to? And then Paul, as if he was answering our inner thoughts, gently replied to us with this. He said, "I know this is a lot to take in. And indeed, I did not believe myself at first, for I used to be a devout Jew, and I actually persecuted these followers of Jesus for some time. But then I had this miraculous encounter with the risen Lord Jesus over 10 years ago, and it changed everything for me. See, I have now seen many signs and wonders, even performed many signs that really do confirm this age of the Messiah is breaking into our current reality. And one day, Jesus will return to raise his followers to new life, and then at that point, we will finally experience this perfect shalom that we are all waiting for." As Paul said these things, something inside me started to stir. Maybe, just maybe, his words could be true. And as I looked around at the other women, some of them appeared puzzled, even skeptical or angry. But I started to feel this wave of comfort and hope wash over me as Paul's words sank in. And then in the next moment, I found myself blurting out to him, "Well, what does it take to be a follower of this Jesus figure?" And then Paul went on to say how Jesus explained that his disciples must believe in him and be baptized, turning from their former way of life to follow him as the one true God. How they must turn from their worship of idols and instead take up their own crosses and follow after him as the only way. And then Paul stopped and he looked directly at me. He said, "Lydia, this means you cannot serve both the empire and Jesus." His words were like a sword through my heart. How dangerous, how confronting to follow such a person who demanded such allegiance to himself, to turn from the ways of the empire and put everything in for this Jesus figure. My head started spinning. See, our whole society is set up to worship Caesar as king, as savior over the empire. For we are taught that it is through his own power and might and the blessing of the gods on his rule that we experience such peace and prosperity under the Roman Empire. And to worship anyone other than Caesar as Lord is nothing less than treasonous. It could result in imprisonment, even in death. Now, I already knew what it was like to live in a bit of a difficult space, for I was a foreigner in this city, and I'd had mixed origins to my religious beliefs. But Paul's message, this was different. Truly believing in what he was saying would really push me into another realm. And I'd worked so hard over these past few years to establish my reputation here in Philippi after I'd inherited my husband's wealth. And I'd earned quite a good reputation here, if I'm honest. I was quite proud of where I'd come and how I'd landed here. And if I'm honest, I'd established good wealth and social standing. And I'd contributed to the glory of my city through being a part of this association of the dyers. And I'd managed to really establish my own social standing here. But to follow Jesus would mean risking all of this. I could lose everything to follow him. But then I started to think about it. Yes, there was Roman peace, but it came at a price. See, we could only experience its benefits if we continued to pay our taxes and be subservient to the empire. And for those who didn't, they faced destruction, even death. See, this message is stamped all throughout our cities. On our gateways, it displays the emperor's great victories over his enemies, and even on our very coins, there is the image of Pax, the goddess of peace, on one side, but on the other side, it displays weapons. See, this Roman peace really only came by the blood of the sword. But this Jesus, the peace and redemption that he offered was different. See, he didn't impose his kingdom by violence. Rather, Jesus himself endured the most humiliating kind of death. And Jesus' message wasn't just for those who were well off, as Roman peace was, but no, Jesus came to bring his kingdom for all. Everyone could be a part of it, whether they were well off or not. I was at a crossroads in this moment, but something inside me seemed to know what the right way forward was. And so I can only describe this moment as God opening up my heart to respond to Paul's message. It felt like my chest was expanding and this fire was rising up in my soul. And I thought to myself, how could I not offer all that I have for this Messiah who has given everything for me? And so in a moment of elation, I found myself exclaiming to Paul, okay, I believe. I know this is what I must do. And since we are gathered right here by the river, can I not be baptized right now? What is stopping us? And so Paul agreed and we jumped into the cool water. And as he baptized me in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, it was this most incredible moment. As I arose from the water, I experienced this deep joy and peace wash over me as I was filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. And then I excitedly ran home and I gathered around all the members of my household. I gathered my servants and my attendants and my housekeepers and I told them what had just happened. And I shared this incredible story with them. To my delight, they too believed and desired to be baptized. So we all raced back to the river and I watched on as they too went under the water and declared this newfound faith. It was the most incredible day. Everything had changed. And as the day drew to a close, I said to Paul and his friends, well, if you consider me a believer in the Lord, why don't you come and stay at my house? For it seemed only right to extend this invitation to these men, Even though it could have been perceived as scandalous to host a group of Jewish men in my home who believed in a different Messiah. But I'd already come so far this day in declaring my new belief that I thought, what's stopping me? And besides, I had no husband to gain approval from to extend this invitation. Now, they politely refused my invitation a couple of times, as is customary, but then they agreed and they came and stayed with us in my home. And we experienced a few days together where Paul continued to teach us the riches of this story about Jesus, which had now become my story. Now, that was a few weeks ago, and so much has changed. A group has started to gather in my home. Some of the women from the gathering have started to come along, as well as, of course, the members of my household. And also a range of other people that Paul has been sharing this message with throughout the city. Even the jailer has started to come along to our gathering. Now that's a miraculous story in itself, but I should probably save it for another time. See, my home has now become this beautiful place where Jew and Gentile can gather together, sharing a meal around the same table, where slave and free can learn and worship together as one with no division. See, we do not accept the social divisions of the empire in this gathering in my home as followers of Jesus. No, we have begun our own community based on love and welcome and acceptance rather than based on divisions of wealth and status and race. So much has started to change for me, but I know this is only the beginning. And understandably, I do have some fears, if I'm honest, because we do not know what the authorities might do to us as we continue to practice this alternative way that Jesus has commanded us. But the spirit that we have received from him is spurring us on with much boldness to continue in this new faith that we have. I'm continuing to deal my purple cloth, but I'm wrestling through many questions at the moment. Like, how do I use my wealth for the spread of this gospel rather than to build up the empire? Should I be selling my products to those who may be involved in imperial worship? How can I be a witness to those in my Dyer's association rather than blending in as one of them? And how can we practice these alternative ways that Jesus commanded us and remove ourselves as much as possible from aspects of our society that are tainted with empire worship? I know this is just the beginning and so much has changed. I can see how God is using my resources to build up his ecclesia in my home here in Philippi. And it's a delight to see, and I'm leaning on him so much more and more as I just trust in him and desire to be used by him. And even though it's a difficult line that I'm walking and there are so many tensions that I face, I keep coming back to this pervasive thought. How could I not offer all that I have for this Messiah who gave everything for me?